Trump has waved off the Israeli-U.S. attack on Iran. The U.S. is meeting again with Iran, seeking a diplomatic solution. Hezbollah leaders in Lebanon are now leaving and commanded to leave by Iran and Hezbollah leaders. Hamas has rejected all proposals for hostage release, and the U.S. continues to pound the Houthis in Yemen. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion of Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, April 18th of the year 2025. And here's the news for the week. This last week, Netanyahu made that surprise visit to the White House. We knew they were there to talk about tariffs and Gaza and Iran. Well, it turns out what really was going on was the president was explaining to Netanyahu that he wanted to hold off on striking Iran right away. Instead, he was hoping that through diplomacy, he might be able to talk Iran into making a deal, and so we wouldn't have to go to war and use the military. Now, President Trump believes that Iran wants to talk to him. In fact, they've said that they would love to talk to him. So he called off the attack, thinking that we'll use diplomacy. However, this is the game that Iran likes to play. And there are a lot of issues that go into that discussion. Not everybody in the American administration wants to go to war. They think diplomacy is the right way. Here is Chris Mitchell of CBN News with his commentary that succinctly describes what's going on in those negotiations.
Well, one of the important points, I think, was the surprise of Netanyahu and his team. I think they had felt like the Trump administration and the government here were on the same page. Obviously not. I think, as the report said, that they wanted something in May that may be delayed because of these negotiations. Another important point, I think, was the divisions within the Trump administrations about an attack and a reluctance by some to take on Iran militarily. Some wonder over here, what is the threat that Iran poses anymore? They have internal divisions within Iran. There's an economic collapse of the rial, their currency. Their proxies are nearly decimated. That would be the Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah, including Syria, which was an asset of Iran. And then again, two attacks by Iran against Israel failed miserably. So some wonder, what is the threat of Iran right now, and why not go ahead with a military attack? Well, it seems like he's certainly want to put the pause on it right now while the negotiations are going on. Will it happen? It really may depend on the White House and what President Trump decides to do. This report really seems to indicate a strike is uncertain. Netanyahu wanted May, but that seems to be delayed, as I said, for these negotiations. Also, a complicating factor is CENTCOM Commander General Cruella is leaving. They would want him on to help coordinate attack. The time to attack and a potential time remains to be seen. But, you know, Trump's a negotiator. He's famous for the art of the deal, and I think he wants to give negotiations a time to go ahead and work before an attack. He does typically want to avoid any war. But many people here in Israel, they're waiting for the end of Iran's nuclear program, this existential threat that has been over the head of Israel for many, many years. And also people in Iran, they're hoping and praying for the end of the regime. This is a totalitarian regime since 1979. Many people have been imprisoned, killed by the regime, and it's spreading its tentacles of terror around the region. So many people are hoping and praying that eventually, maybe this year, will be the end of this regime.
Steve Witkoff met with the foreign minister last week in Oman, but the results of it turned out to be a lot of confusion. Trump had said going into those meetings that Iran cannot have any more nuclear weapons. They have to dismantle the nuclear program. But when Steve Witkoff met with the foreign minister, he started talking about the same things that Barack Obama and Kerry had talked about with Iran, about capping the enrichment. In fact, He said, let's keep your enrichment to 3.5% and that other that you've done. Let's move that to another country. And you just, we'll have the UN come in and monitor your nuclear site so that you don't build any weapons and so forth. And of course, Iran, when they heard that, they said, no way, we're not agreeing to any of that kind of thing. When Witkoff got back and announced, that was not at all what Trump had talked about. That's not what the expectations of Israel was at all. Their expectations was to shut down the nuclear program totally and completely and dismantle it. So we had to get back to last week. What are the goals of this talk? What in the world is the U.S. trying to achieve? What is this deal that the president would like to get put together with Iran? Because at the moment, it doesn't look like it's going forward. The U.S. is going to meet again this weekend, and I'm going to be very surprised to see what the results are, because on the one hand, Iran is saying, yes, they want to talk. They would like to get the Russians involved into making an agreement with the U.S. It's all a delaying tactic. Trump is repeating his demand to end the nuclear program. He's saying things like, oh, you'll have a beautiful country. Iran is a wonderful place. If you can get rid of that, it'll be... And so Iran is saying, yes, that's right, Mr. President, just keep talking, keep talking, keep talking, keep delaying, delaying. In the meantime, our program continues on. In Israel, when Netanyahu got back and found out that the attack had been delayed, he was roundly berated by all of his political opponents. The entire government of Israel is in favor of this is the time to stop Iran permanently for it. And there's a window of opportunity to stop Iran. It's right now. In fact, even the IAEA has said that the nuclear program in Iran has to come to a conclusion quickly because they are a very short time frame of being able to have nuclear weapons. And guys, if Iran gets nuclear weapons, they build it and announce that they have it, the world is concerned it will set off a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia will want nuclear weapons. The UAE will want nuclear weapons. And it will really turn into a real problem for the world. We cannot go down that path. Furthermore, it just puts Israel at far more risk and raises the stakes that they may have to use their nuclear weapons to defend them. It makes the problem way worse than what it is at the moment. So let's shift gears and talk a little bit north of Israel, up in Lebanon. This last week, the announcement was made that some 400 Hezbollah leaders have been ordered to leave Lebanon. They're moving to South America. Apparently, several countries in that hemisphere have Hezbollah factions and elements, and they're moving into those areas. Clearly, Hezbollah is leaving Lebanon now at the moment. The question is, what about all of the remaining fighters that are there? It's been agreed to that some of them will probably disperse and go to other nations. Some of them probably will be assimilated into the Lebanese army and become Lebanese citizens. The Lebanese army, per the agreement of the ceasefire, they're behind schedule, but they are moving into the positions and taking up the positions Hezbollah used to have in southern Lebanon, particularly south of the Litani River. Israel has been helping them to find the weapons caches, and the Lebanese army is blocking up tunnels and finding weapons and basically taking Hezbollah out of those areas. So progress is being made to solve the Hezbollah problem in Lebanon, and including, and this is very significant, the Lebanese army, the Lebanese government is now pulling down Hezbollah propaganda. They had billboards and signs all over the country promoting Hezbollah. Those signs and so forth are being taken down. So the citizenry is now seeing that Lebanon is changing and Hezbollah is going to be leaving. In Syria, and if you'll recall, last week President Trump made his statement about he had a good relationship with the leader of Turkey, Erdogan. He was a friend of his. Of course, Israel is concerned about Turkey moving in and taking over Syria, but President Trump seems to like the idea, was assuring Israel that if there's any problem with Turkey, why, he would step in and he would help Israel to take care of it. So this week, we learned a little bit of the influence that Erdogan has on President Trump. President Trump and the U.S. has now announced to Israel that you have 2 months for your forces to leave southern Syria that you've been maintaining to protect your border. So clearly Turkey and the president are doing things in Turkey, and Israel is having to back off to the border. In Gaza, repeatedly, multiple proposals for different ceasefires, release of certain hostages, and so forth, have been going on. Hamas has rejected every one of them. None can seem to be in negotiation or agreement. Israel has been striking key sites where elements are congregating and pulling together. And when they hit these sites, they're killing dozens of Hamas fighters and their families that are with them and taking out key leaders. There still are elements that are there. They're scattered. Hamas wants the war to be over with. They're demanding, we need the war over with, but they still want to survive. Israel has clearly said, we cannot allow Hamas to survive any longer. So Israel wants Hamas gone, leave, disarm, get out of Gaza, and have the hostages returned. So any proposal in the interim before it is being rejected by Hamas, because as they give up hostages, they lose leverage for their demands. Adding to that, it's been announced this week that Hamas is running out of money to pay for their fighters. That will be devastating to them because that means that many of the fighters will simply quit. If they don't get paid and can't provide for their families, then they will not fight for Hamas and it'll diminish their ranks tremendously. The aid trucks that the people in Gaza need desperately are being blocked by Israel. Israel is very plain about this. The aid trucks keep going in. They keep being stolen by Hamas operatives. Hamas gets the aid that the other Palestinians don't get it. By the way, Hamas kills the other Palestinians when they try to get the aid. And so Israel has basically said, why would we send aid in to reinforce our enemy and kill more Palestinians in Gaza? In the meantime, there's more and more Gaza citizens rising up and calling for Hamas to leave. And we'll just have to see whether or not that continues to work. But the game at the moment is almost a siege mentality. Israel is putting it to Hamas, making it more and more difficult every day for them to remain. I believe that ultimately it's going to come down to the last remnants of it, and they'll just have to quit. Well, hopefully that day will come very quickly. In Israel, the way this is going is Israel and the hostage families, of course, are very frustrated with the results. They are aware of the fact that their family members that are being held hostage are being starved and being in these tunnels and mistreated, and there's a fear that continued military action could cost them their lives as well. They're desperate to get the hostages back. And in fact, their philosophy, their point of view with the government is just get the hostages back. We don't care what happens with the war. We don't care what happens with Hamas, whether they survive or not. The government, of course, says it's not going to work unless Hamas is gone. We've got to get Hamas gone and then get the hostages back. Those protesters, which are becoming in the streets more prevalent and causing disruptions, the government has been trying to deal with the police, with the protesters, trying to accommodate them to a certain extent. But now, because they're becoming more and more unruly and larger, Israel's now pulled out their water cannons. And what they usually use on other groups, they're now using on the hostage families that are protesting. It's a water cannon with that sprays water out that has a very putrid smell to it, and that's now dispersing those demonstrations and those crowds of people. That's how desperate things are getting in the streets of Israel with the frustration over the war. In Samaria, inside of the land of Israel, key terrorist leaders are being killed. Many have been arrested. In fact, more than 100 have been arrested. More than dozens of the terrorist leaders have been killed. Israel is clamping down on those Palestinian cities in Samaria, even more severely, to uproot them from those locations and stop the terrorist attacks going on in the land of Israel, including stabbings, shootings, and ramming with cars. The U.S. is continuing to pound the Houthis down in Yemen. Those two aircraft carrier battle groups are there operating. And now they have F-35s as well as the F-18s, those stealth fighter aircraft, off of the USS Vinson operating, and intensely are hitting the port facilities and taking out key leaders. The Iranian leaders have already left, but the Houthis are now being struck very severely. They're launching some of their last missiles they have, last gasp that they have. In fact, one was launched this toward Israel. It was shot down, and they continue to guard Israel from it. Let me step back for a moment. Let's talk about Trump's effort to try to get Iran to negotiate. Iran is a master at negotiating and using it as a deception tactic. Trump has this reputation of the art of the deal. I will come in and I'll put a great deal together. And he comes in like big time and suddenly there's a deal put together. And one of the things that we learned from Trump watching him in the art of the deal, particularly this is visible in dealing with the tariffs, where he's negotiating with all kinds of nations about that. He seems to come on with a lot of bluster at first and then he kind of backs off. And that's a well-known tactic to do it. Trump has used it extensively in the past, seems to be working on the tariffs. But the problem is Iran is watching this. Well, let me share something with you that comes from a very famous Chinese general. His name is Sun Tzu. He wrote a book called The Art of War. And anybody who studies strategy and tactics will study that book. One of his principles he shares in there is a tactic perceived is no tactic at all. Now, if you believe that Trump likes to negotiate by coming in with a lot of bluster up front and then he backs off, well, Iran is seeing that's exactly what Trump is doing, threatening to hit them with military warfare. The Iranian newspapers this last week were all talking about Trump was threatening them with B-2 bombers, but then he backed off for negotiations. And that it made Iran look like they understand Trump and they know how to deal with him and they're going to continue to talking him to death. I want to take you to a passage of scripture that I think succinctly speaks to the issues of Israel and its neighbors today. Comes from Zechariah chapter 12, begins at verse 6. Listen to these words. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a firepot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again live on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord also will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be greater than Judah. On that day, the Lord will protect the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the one who is feeble among them on that day will be like David. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. So far, Hamas in Gaza is being eliminated. That's one of the neighbors of Israel. Hezbollah is leaving Lebanon. That's one of the neighbors of Israel. Syria is no more. That's one of the neighbors of Israel. The Houthis are dying in Yemen. That's one of the neighbors of Israel. And Iran is next. It turns out that Zechariah spoke accurately. Israel is like a firepot and all their enemies around them are like dry sheaves. You know what that means? If they get close to Israel, they get burned. And that is what we have seen God do, particularly in this last year. All their neighbors have been burned and they're being destroyed. God's plan for Iran, according to this prophecy, is they're going to be bombed and destroyed. So the question is, when is that going to come? Well, the president wants to and is hoping in diplomacy that Iran will one day be a beautiful country, a beautiful place. He's talking about, agree with me and you'll have a beautiful country. The problem is that God's plan for Iran is to turn them into a smoking hole in the ground, and that's according to the God of Israel. I wonder who will prevail in this whole thing. Now, I have to compliment the president on the following. He put out a holiday message for Easter for the Christians, Passover for the Jews, a very positive message. And by the way, I might add, one of the strongest spiritual messages we've ever heard come from a president out of the White House at this time of the year. And so I commend him for speaking of strong faith, freedom of religion, and yes, honoring even Jesus. Those are great. However, he needs to remember this one thing. This Jesus that he's referring to, he's the King of Israel, and he's the God of Israel, and he's the one who spoke the words that Zechariah gave to us. It is Jesus who's coming back, not as a lamb this time. He's coming back as a lion, and these are the end of the ages, and this is the message of Zechariah of the days that we live in. Let me also say this, that we're living in very interesting times, not only the things that we've been talking about, but let me give you hints of a couple of other things that we need to pay attention to. Don't be surprised if before the end of this month and into the month of May, you hear something more about the red heifer, about more Jews praying on the Temple Mount, and other dramatic changes coming to Israel in this season, particularly since we have Mike Huckabee now as the new ambassador to Israel from the United States, and some of the statements that he's made about future plans for Israel. Continue to pray for Israel. Continue to pray for our nation. If you have the opportunity and you're viewing our program, please like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube channel. We'd love to have you subscribe at lionelamb.tv. You can see a whole assortment of programs that we publish there. But also, Lion and Lamb Ministries also puts out a free subscription to Yavo Magazine. You can request it from the website very easily. Just call us. We'll be happy to send that to you. Has interesting articles each month and tells you of other events going on in the ministry. We have a series of podcasts. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts, including X, Telegram, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We're kind of all over the internet. We'd love to have you join us and keep up with all that we're putting out. And we put out multiple programs each week that I think you'll find interesting. Some of you only tune in on Messianic World Update. We appreciate that. You might want to check out some of the other programs. I think you'll find them interesting. Tune in this Sunday, in fact, for a special program for a powerful message on first fruits and to enjoy the feast day and to be part of the Passover season that we have going on right now. And so we wish you all holiday happiness as we enjoy the holidays this spring. Shabbat shalom to all of you.